joined by Dr. John Lott from crimesearch.org. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing great. It's crime research.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. It is crime research.
Right. Oh, you said crimeresearch.org. That's fine.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you joining us here. It's been a little while since we've talked to you, since I've talked to you anyway. Is it me, or are we finally starting to see a few stories pop up and trickle in the news about legal, law-abiding citizens that are carrying, using their firearms in self-defense?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you go back 15 years ago or so, I'd looked at it, you wouldn't find a single national news story that would have mentioned defensive gun uses. Right now, it's mainly places like Fox News, that mainly their website, that will mention those types of defensive gun use stories. Sometimes it will be on the actual news channel itself. But other than that, you still don't see very much. But still, I think it makes a difference in the debate when people only hear about bad things that happen and never hear about the benefits that are there. You know, most people wouldn't have any idea that individuals use guns defensively to stop crimes about four times more frequently than guns are used in the commission of crime. And that's, you can't blame them. That's because they only hear about the bad things that happen.
Absolutely. And when you see the bad things, when the news media is reporting what is going on in the realm of firearms, when it's used for illegal purposes, for murder, for robberies and the like, and then you have a candidate like Hillary Clinton saying her first step is going to be gun reform, it appeals to a lot of people who are indoctrinated by the news.
Right. Well, the problem with the media isn't just how they cover defensive gun uses versus crimes. It's also how they cover numbers on crime rates and how they're discussed. So, you know, Hillary Clinton, before the New Hampshire primary, was pointing to Britain and Australia as having laws that we ought to try to emulate here in the United States. The thing is, after the handgun ban went into effect in the UK in January 97, their homicide rate went up by about 50% in the next 8 years. It only came down again after that, after they had an 18% increase in the number of police officers in the country. You know, in Australia, she frequently refers to the claim that firearm suicides are down, firearm homicides were down after the big buyback that they had. They basically made people have to sell about a third of their legally owned guns to the government. What she doesn't mention is that while there was this big sudden drop in gun ownership, people were able to go back out and buy guns again, and in fact, the gun ownership rate is back to where it was prior to the buyback. But you don't see a drop like that. Firearm homicides, firearm suicides were falling for about 15 years prior to the buyback. They kept on falling at the same rate afterwards. You need a magnifying glass to see any change there. But there's no sudden drop and then an increase, which is what you would have expected if her type of claims about fewer guns means fewer suicides or fewer crimes were true.
Dr. John Lott joins us here on the Steve Gruber Show. I wonder how it is that fact and numbers so obvious are swept under the rug. I mean, it seems these things are constantly avoided and again, just, you know, almost misrepresented in these ads and their political speeches.
Right. Well, I mean, people can go to our website, as you said, at crimeresearch.org, and just look up Australia, and they can see the testimony that I gave a year and a half ago to the Australian Senate, where I went through the numbers. And they can go and follow the links to go and look at the Australian crime numbers and suicide numbers themselves. But, you know, I'm not sure that most people care to look into those types of things, at least with most people in the media. It kind of fits their template about what they believe about guns. You know, it's unfortunate because I think having these types of mistaken views about what saves lives actually ends up putting lives in danger.
Absolutely. Dr. John Lott joins us here. CrimeResearch.org is the website. Dr. Lott, I met a gentleman from Canada who, you know, is like me, likes his firearms, has a handgun, has to belong to a club. He has to have a direct route registered with the OPP, has to have a gun locker. I mean, if he varies and goes off to a Max party store because he wants a soda, pulled over with that firearm in his vehicle and it's not on his direct recorded route, he is in a world of trouble. And right. This is literally right across the river from our own country.
Sure. Since the mid-1930s, Canada's had registration and licensing of handguns. And, you know, the claim has been this helps solve crimes. But when they were going through and getting rid of the long gun registration a few years ago in Canada, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police put together a report that they gave to Parliament, and they couldn't identify one single crime that they've been able to solve as a result of that very costly, very intrusive licensing and registration rules. And there's a very simple reason for that, and that is, you know, in theory, if a criminal commits a crime with a gun and they leave a gun at the crime scene and it's registered to the criminal, then you can go and trace it back to the criminal. The problem is, one, crime guns are almost never left at the crime scene. When they are, it's either because the criminal's either been seriously wounded or killed. And in the few times where it is left there, you can catch them because, you know, they're at the hospital. But even in the few times they're left there, they're never registered to the criminal who committed the crime.
Sure.
And so, you know, we look in this country at how hard it has been to stop illegal drugs coming in. What most people don't appreciate is how much violent crime is directly related to drug gangs in the United States. The Obama administration itself says about 80% of crime is gang-related. The vast majority of that is drug gang-related. And just as you can't stop these gangs from getting illegal drugs, it's very difficult to stop them from getting the weapons that they need to use to protect this property. It's not like they can go and call up the police